about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? A little bit of a muted intro for me because it was a muted performance from the boys. 1-1 draw. No, 2-2 draw against Southampton. It's got to feel like points dropped. It certainly does because the win was there. I think we showed our legs. I think we showed what happens when you don't rotate.
I mean, I just texted out, devastating, absolutely devastating. I'm without words at this point, sir. This is like almost therapy. You got the dark ale there, drinking the Guinness. I mean, breaking this game down, how much we needed this, you know, the curse of last season when every other team dropped points and we couldn't do it in the game where we needed three to take that move, make that move. Tell our opponents we are here. We're Manchester United. We're back. We're going to be third place. Put your money on it. Cannot get it done. It was a last-minute winner and the worst, done in the worst, I mean, last-minute tying goal. It feels like a winner to me. In the worst way possible, at the worst moment possible, when all the mojo is flowing. But my main takeaway is those players on that pitch, they knew the score. They knew what it meant. Mentally, I think it affected us. I think we kind of went into our turtle shell a little bit in the last 10 minutes, and it was desperation. It was desperation. Southampton were coming. I felt like the goal was coming.
No, I mean, I think this is a hard day for a lot of Reds for a lot of reasons, one of which was because last year ended like this is all of a sudden going, right? It's like we're the beginning of it. We were on a great run. We were on a great run last time. Everyone around us kind of started falling apart and giving us an option to like really cement some high ground because we won today. We're in a great position. We're cruising. Everyone else has to keep up. And instead, another dropped opportunity, a team that we really were there for the taking. After we got the second goal, we had to cruise. We had to put them away and we kind of just backed off the gas pedal and we looked tired. We looked a little slow and it wasn't enough today. We dropped some big points and now we got to basically win out. Right, we have to win out. We have to beat Palace, and we most certainly have to beat Leicester. And they're likely going to drop points as well. But it just feels like a rehash of last year all over again. And we're not even through it yet. We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit because we didn't lose, and the run continues. But they were big points that were dropped, and now we have to win out effectively.
No, I mean, with a loss like this, what it meant to the team, it's like the players need it. They need that mentality. And I questioned it a little bit coming into this game because we have the talent, we have the mojo, we have the manager, but you need experience. And experience in these types of situations wins you to the 3 points, gets you results, wins you titles, wins you silverware. And with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they have come close to that top four ceiling. 2 games last season, we were in fourth. And that's 2 games too little, in my opinion. And when something's on the line, for whatever reason, and I cannot blame Ole. He put out that best team. We are not able to crack that. And this season, whether it's top four, Europa League, we need to crack that because we need to be able to compete for the league next year, put up either top four, Champions League qualification, or silverware at a minimum. It has to be done. And look, I'm looking to Chelsea at the weekend. We can really turn this around. But last time when Ole had how many games unbeaten, we slid and we weren't able to stop it. So as long as we can come out and we can dispatch Crystal Palace, we can get a big win in the FA Cup against Chelsea, I think this could be totally forgotten.
No, it's all about what happens next.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the beautiful game. That's the beautiful thing about being a Manchester United fan. The thing that weighed on my heart today, and I think a lot of fans, you know, if you looked at Twitter, it was a dark place. At times today after the result.
I didn't even check it.
You don't
check after that game.
I just sensed it. It was not a place you wanted to be hanging out in. It's because of the remembrance of last season, right? It's like, fool me once. Shame on me.
Yeah, but this is different. This is different. And we're different than we were earlier in the season before restart. You know why? Because the old Manchester United started the season, we would have drawn 1-1, right? We wouldn't have been able to score those 2 goals. I mean, I really do think this team is on a different level with Bruno. Bruno off his game, Pogba off his game, Greenwood a little MIA. Still, we should have scored four. Rashford should have had one. Martial should have one. This team is different. We got goals coming from everywhere. We've never had that in the longest time at Manchester United.
No, you're right. But at the end of the day, it's about, what'd you say, experience. It's about that 90 minutes, you know. You want Bruno on that field. I wouldn't have brought Bruno off with just a one-goal lead just because you need his heart. You need his heart on that pitch, even though we got a lot of games to come. But the story isn't told yet. We need to figure out how the rest of this plays out. We're breaking down the Southampton game. It feels like a gut punch, but it doesn't matter. If we win, if we beat the crap out of Southampton, no big deal.
No, Crystal Palace. It's a game like this, it's only a draw, and we're 18 unbeaten. So shout out to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Shout out to this team. This team has come a long way. I actually still think we're firing all cylinders. We're almost a finished product. We're a few big transfers away from competing for the league, and that's a lot considering how we started the season, how we're finishing strong. It's exactly as a Manchester United fan. I think this is the best team since Sir Alex. I think Ole's really done a lot in the locker room, got the right players together, and we're playing well. We're playing the Manchester United way. Attack, attack, attack. Absolutely love it. So we got to bounce back. And so it's a big game against Crystal Palace. It's a 19th place Crystal Palace who's lost five matches. We got to do them dirty. I want this team to score six. I want them to score seven. I want them to get revenge for that Southampton late winner. And just, it's all about sending the signal. Chelsea, Leicester, they're shaking in their boots. And it's like this draw really gave them a little too much.
I mean, if you saw that Martial goal, just like that unbelievable presence to just push through and say, I'm going to score a goal. It was just like a worldie of a run, worldie of a finish. The thing that's concerning is that Ole didn't switch it up. And like, maybe he should have switched it up. Maybe there were some tired legs out there on the pitch today.
No, that's Monday morning quarterback.
Well, I mean, what 11 is he going with on Thursday? We might have some injuries, but assuming everybody was fit.
I think if I look at Southampton and Crystal Palace, this is the game where you need the best team. 100%. Because you look at Danny Ings, you look at dangerous Southampton, you know, almost nothing to play for. But they came out, they were dangerous. They're pressed. They got the best of us. We needed our best team. But Bruno and Pogba didn't have a good day. And if Pogba's going to give away the ball and they're going to score a goal and Bruno's going to not be able to link it up together going forward, like, we're going to struggle. Could have led to four goals. But the problem is we've been scoring so much that we've been letting our defense get away with these mistakes. And look, I it was bad. Back pass. Paul Pogba, Lindelof, what are you doing? The back pass looks shaky from the start, and I just think that is something we're not ready for. I know Ole's trying to bring it into this team, but Lindelof, the defending on the corner, that was abysmal as well. I mean, not only him, but he was marking three men basically on the back post, and it's just like set-piece goals. Too much this season. You can't give those up. It's unbelievable. We're trying
to... I agree. Let's break down that game. Lindelof had some good moments in this game. I don't know if you call him out, right? We're down.
I'm not calling him out. I'm just saying our defense is the weak point of this team right now. And we usually score so many goals we can get away with giving up two, but today we couldn't.
No, I mean, I think the lack of rotation let us down today in a big way. Like, I'm not saying you would have benched Paul Pogba, but like maybe Matic ready for a rest, put McTominay in the hole, you know, switch it up in some other way at halftime, because we looked like some tired legs. We showed it. As soon as we got those bang-bang goals, we looked like we were off to the races. We made some good chances, but we weren't clinical enough today. We didn't take our chances when we had them. And then, of course, they scored that late winner. You know, like, you knew it was coming. You just you kind of saw it in the team. Just the way we lined up. The fact that they got a corner in the 96th minute, you knew they were scoring.
Yeah, well, let's get into that game. But before we break it down, everyone's excited about breaking down this match, I'm sure. Quick PSA for the podcast. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. We have some great fan-generated content. Shout out to all our contributors. And if you'd like to contribute, you can email us at gmail.com, americanreddevils@gmail. Also, drop a review on iTunes. There are no ads on this podcast. We just do it for the love of the game. If you want to help us out, you can drop a review on iTunes. Some fresh banter, 5 stars, goes a long way for us getting found via Apple. And also subscribe to our new YouTube channel. We're posting all of our podcasts there as well. A lot of people have requested that, and we'll be getting other video content out, some funny stuff, some extra clips. Sir, we also have some amazing merchandise you're wearing, the American Red Devils hoodie, 18 games unbeaten. Get one, americanreddevils.com. You click on store. I think that's it. I think that's all the ads we got.
We got a lot going on. Yeah. We got no external ads. We got internal ads. We're sending out lots of gear. Those scarves, those inaugural scarves, they are going quick. This is the end of the season. Feels like a restart, but this is actually the end of the 1920 season. can't believe it. So we got new scarves coming out next year, but last bag of them. So get them while they last. Glazer Out scarves as well. They are on sale. Whew, Glazer Out.
Yeah, but if you guys like fan-generated content, again, we're two gentlemen on the couch just talking smack about their favorite football team. We don't have any corporate influence, so if you want to support us, it's a great way to do it. Get the merch. Enjoy it. All right, sir, we've already been talking about it. Manchester United 2, Southampton 2. Old Trafford, that's right. We did it. They did it to us in our house. Clearly no fans. Let's look at that lineup. Dave Saves World number one in net. Lindelof, Maguire, center back pairing. Luke Shaw, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We had Matic, CDM, Pogba, Bruno, midfield 2, you could call it. Greenwood on the right, Martial at number 9, and Rashford on the left wing. What'd you make of that lineup? You want rotation. I actually disagree with you there, but tell me why and who you wanted to rotate.
I mean, I was happy to see it at the end of the day, but like when they came out of the sluggish legs, maybe you would have thought it could have been a smart move. That is the definition of Monday morning quarterback, of course. But I was happy with the 11. I said, I thought I might see some rotation. I thought you might see a Lindelof get dropped, a Matic get dropped, even though Matic has been such a stud and a standout. But it was the starting 11, 5 in a row.
No. I think it was the first time since 1992, actually, at Manchester United as well. So, I mean, I like this lineup. I think they should be able to do it. You know, the score 3, sub them all off in the 60th minute. I think that's what Ole was trying to do. We looked like we could have done it jumping in first half. Southampton came out with no fear. They pressed us hard. We had a lot of trouble dealing with it. The ball was in our half for quite a bit of the opening 10 minutes. But Martial in the 10th minute, huge chance. Was able to steal the ball for a one-on-one on the keeper, but the keeper came out. I think his touch let him down, brought him too close to the keeper. Otherwise, it would have been just like that messy chip finish all day, you know?
I thought it was like done, dusted at 10, right? This should be Martial all day. He I don't know if his touch let him down. I think he just took a touch too many. He should have just shot, chipped it. You don't let them, you know, cut the space down, right? You want to get it off as soon as possible.
No, he had to hit it first time chip.
Right.
Then he took that touch, took him into the keeper. Then you got around the keeper there, and he kind of went for the. I mean, I have seen him finish that, but great save. Southampton keeper was up for it. You hate to see this as a Manchester United fan. This one killed me because I'm like, they're going to score. Southampton, you had this big chance.
You knew it.
Yeah, Southampton's going to score, sir. We didn't have to wait long in the 12th minute.
For the manager, isn't it, when you've got that going on, the rivalry, they're both on 20 goals in all competitions. Good pressing, it's Pogba who's lost out, it's Redmond looking to take advantage, and it's touched home by Armstrong! An Old Trafford lead for Southampton! Stuart Armstrong, 1-0!
Well, Paul Pogba's hung his head. And he knows he's made a big error here. Look, we spoke about the fact that Southampton are going at it high up the pitch. And you can't afford to dally. And it's a very...
A little pedestrian there from Paul P. gives the ball away in an area where you don't want to. Haven't seen that in a while. Southampton, Redmond with the great cross. They do convert. The poor man's Lallana looks like. Tough one to take. Dave couldn't come up with that World Eva save there.
Yeah, it was too much to ask Dave to do anything. That's like something that, you know, Fred was doing when he first showed up on the scene at Manchester United, us passing out of the back. You know, it's led to a lot of our good chances. We've shown that we can play passing out of the back for sure. But Pogba, a little casual. The whole day was a little casual. And this kind of summed up United a little bit, unfortunately, against Southampton.
Yeah, he had one other giveaway, but I wouldn't say it was that. Other than this, he didn't have that bad of a game. I was surprised Ole took him out. That early, I would have left Paul Pogba in because, you know, he screws up. He's a World Cup winner. Maybe he wants to get a goal, kind of make even. 16th minute, Rashford scores, but he's offsides. Another great pass from Shaw. Another offside goal from Marcus Rashford. AWB had one of these nice curling passes into him before and again was offside. I thought this was a goal. I got out of my chair screaming.
Shaw with an unbelievable ball. His balls...
Shaw has the best
Shaw's
balls
are top notch.
Sir, how do you know he has the best balls?
His passing has really evolved, I think, in the last 6 months, and it was a shame to see him go down with that injury. Hopefully, it's nothing serious.
All right, sir, we didn't have to wait long. You know, red hot Rashford, 20th minute.
In the sort of area that they want to be doing that. Pogba. Martial did so well to get hold of that. Finding Rashford, who finds the bottom corner for Manchester United. great sides find a way, and Manchester United through Marcus Rashford level it up.
Yeah, well, when you look back on that Martial chance earlier on as well, I mean, it could well be ahead by now. It was good persistence by Wan-Bissaka to come through the traffic and still hold on to the ball. And then once it is played in by Pogba, I think the control from Martial is exquisite. I mean, he does go down, but he still finds his way.
I mean, great ball from Paul Pogba into Martial in a dangerous spot. He's able to find Rashford. Great finish. I mean, Pogba, Martial, Marcus Rashford, not bad. Not a bad answer.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was like this game had the highs and highs, some of the finest goals that you'd see, you know, since the restart. This was one of them. It was great interplay. Amazing hold off by Martial. And to get it to Rashford, good finish on him. But that first goal, just to put you behind, is just top teams aren't letting those goals in.
And we didn't have to wait much longer. 23rd minute.
This man's one of the reasons why. Bruno Fernandes. Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable, sensational. In the blink of an eye, Manchester United have turned this one on its head.
Well, again, you just have to...
I mean, amazing finish by Martial. He darted in from the left-hand side. What a hit. What a finish. I think that one's for Greenwood. He's like, you want to score like that? So can I. Amazing goal from Anthony Martial.
And this is when I started getting really excited. I saw this goal. I was like, holy shit. We're back. We're on to something. This team is special. And maybe they just were pooped. I mean, maybe they were just like, we had some good chances. But what a goal from Martial. Unbelievable finish. Like you said, maybe just the fact that he saw Greenwood putting in those ridiculous finishes has just made him step up to the next level.
And I like where he came in from, right? Rashford's been coming in centrally. Martial drifting out to the left. I mean, those two up front, unbelievable. Should have had more today. Should have had more. That's the shame. 28th minute, Pogba took a nice pop from 25 yards out after a nice flick from Bruno Fernandes. Couldn't find the target. I mean, he did hit the goalie, but a great shot from Paul Pogba. 39th minute. Luke Shaw finds Aaron Wan-Bissaka in the box, but his touch let him down. United slower and sloppier since taking the lead. I mean, we were finding ourselves in more dangerous areas in the beginning of the game, but still, we didn't have that, you know, final pass, that final finish. 43rd minute, Greenwood should have been a red. Absolutely gets done ridiculous by Southampton. I mean, VAR, what are you doing?
What are you paid for?
I mean, they give us penalties.
I saw them looking at it, and I thought it was just, you know, like the NBC showing the replay. I was like, no, it's actually VAR. They're actually going over it again.
How's that not a red?
They looked at it?
I mean, Greenwood's foot was planted. He comes in studs high. Like, that
raked
is
him.
The, you know, that's the, you know, That's as cheeky as you can get on the football pitch without getting flashed some yellow or red. I think that should have been a straight red. But again, I think VAR is not trying to ruffle feathers, right? They're not trying to like affect games too much. But they seemingly do. It doesn't make sense. It's almost like...
they decide when they want to.
It's just like kind of a mind fuck, you know, VAR. Going in halftime, feeling good. Sir, what do you think Ole's telling the boys? You wanted some subs here. You know, I thought the first half we played well. It's coming out in the second. That's when I was like, okay, we should switch it up. But
I mean, I was very excited when they came back from being a goal down, sloppy goal to give up, and you come back with two resolute, great goals, and just come back and you're leading again. So I was excited about that. But there was clearly a let off at the end of the first half. Usually in this new look United, we're creating chances for fun because we have so much of the ball. We're so direct in our play, and the players that are playing in the front line have so much creativity. So there's just so much coming out. You could tell in this, we were like slow again. Our passing wasn't direct enough. And that's why really after those goals, there wasn't much created at the end of the first half. So Ole would be like, hey boys, they're hungry. This is a new look Southampton. So don't give them any breathing room. Kill them off early.
They're hungry with nothing to play for. We have everything to play for, but we're looking sluggish. Coming out second half, that is kind of how we started. 53rd minute, big chance for Rashford, but the goalie came out well. Another big chance for Manchester United is squandered. 56th minute, Southampton player smacks down the ball with his arm to stop a fast break, escapes with a yellow. Again, VAR, where are you at? 62nd minute, another good chance for Southampton. Stings across the goal, but there's no one there. My heart skipped a beat here.
That one.
This is when I started to say,
yeah, this is bad.
I started watching the time. It feels like, you know, honestly, this is like Team USA where, you know, we're on bot time. It's like, you know, we're going to concede. It's like 2-1. We don't look like we're like hanging in there, you know. That's all we got. Like, just hold on.
It was Mourinho ball.
It was like, the best defense is a good attack, sir. It's like, link up some passes in there, third. Be patient with it. It's just, we kind of get a little too sloppy. And also, you know, 63rd minute, Fred coming on for Pogba. Not sure how that helps the team. I don't think he played too well when he came on.
No, he didn't play great. I would have.
Especially when we need to kill the game, you know.
Who do you want? I mean, maybe McTominay.
I put McTominay.
Put McTominay over Baye. Fred.
I put Baye in as well.
But you don't want to show that weakness of being like, we're going to just defend. You want to be able to go and get a counter.
We did defend.
We did.
So
it turned out that way.
At a certain point, I'd rather have
Baye.
Well,
I didn't think he was going to take Bruno off. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't have done that because Bruno's got legs for days. We've seen that. And he also is just like, he's the biggest leader on the pitch.
No, I mean, you keep Monday morning quarterback this at this point.
That's what we're doing. That's what we do.
It's just everyone throwing the, you know, the Lindelof marking and the who you should sub. I mean, that's just kind of like you're splitting hairs at that point. It is what it is. On to the next one. 68th minute, Rashford misses what looks like a tap in, but Bertrand actually got a block in. I mean, this one, again, with the power, I think it should be a little more placement, should be cheeky, a little chip, sir. You know, Martial and Rashford, they go for the power, and, you know, Rashford always goes for power, not finesse, and that's the truth. I think he could have finished if he dinked it. You know, the dink.
Messi. There was a goal there. I think there was a goal there as well. I think he just tried
to smash
it. There
was a goal with Martial, too. I mean, it's a dink.
This could have been 5-2, 5-1. You know, it's like we've created a lot of big chances, and we didn't take these big chances, and we let the goalie come out a lot and get big and cut us off before we could even get a shot on net. So, the stats looked worse than they were. We just didn't take our chances. We weren't lethal enough.
75th minute, sub Shaw injured, left ankle. B-dubs. Hey, we got B-dubs. We got the next prospect coming up. He surely will be able to make a difference. 80th minute, Martial takes an insane run through four players, but blasts it over once the chance arrives. That was kind of the MO. 84th, double sub, Greenwood, Bruno off, McTominay and James on. Again, we kind of, at this point, the guy looked up 81st minute, and we were haggard.
Yeah.
We just that. Like hoofballing it out. Right back to, and I'm like, it seems like we played a little too desperate. You know, it's like you have to remember that our best, you were Manchester United, you have to impose your will on them. And this is where I question the mentality. Hey, you know, whether Ole gave him the lock it up defensively, if he gave him that call, I know clearly after the 90th minute when there was that bad collision, he did. But it seemed like in the past 80th minute, we were just like, all men behind the ball, like a lower table team defending a lead. And whether the players just reacted that way or Ole called it tactically, I don't know. But it was not what Manchester United should be doing at that time. We should be trying to score another goal. That's how we should be attacking
totally agree.
That situation.
Totally agree. Especially when your plan is the best defense is a good offense.
Well, when you sub on Dan James, that is.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But even in that instance, I wouldn't have done Dan James, right? You don't take, I think it's the Bruno. I mean, that sub is the last 10 minutes went to shit after the 84th minute double sub. And I think it's because you lose Bruno and you bring on McTominay and James. McTominay did a job, but James didn't do much. I think you bring in Ighalo. He's like a, you know, he can hold up the ball at least.
I think James put in a shift. I think he put in a shift, but like he put in a defensive shift. So why is James putting in a defensive shift, right? Yeah. That's when I look at how we were playing and I would be like, a bye would have been better for the set pieces, the corners.
Yeah, I was surprised the Baye didn't come at that point. If we're gonna defend, park the bus. We're literally parking the bus at that point. Yeah. Why not bring in Eric Baye?
Yeah, 90th minute, terrible. You hate to see a bag head to head collision. United go down to 10 men. B Dubs off. So Luke Shaw and B Dubs. This is the biggest story going into Crystal Palace. Although we could get away with a Dalot out there, but I mean that's what we're gonna probably have to do or do three at the back. 90th minute, sir, plus 6 minutes. We're well into stoppage time. We all know. I saw this corner. I was not happy.
You knew it.
I don't know how much added time is going to be added to the added time. You'd suspect 2-3 minutes.
Do the full version, huh?
I mean, just watching it, I mean, De Gea, it just went right by him. I mean, like you can, it's like uncomfortable. he just stood there. It's like right in front of him, bounces right in front of him. Lindelof, I mean, like what is he doing there?
Oh, if you see this, it's all of our players are like at the near post and nobody's in the back post.
No, I know, but De Gea he's got to play that ball. I mean, if you look at where he is, Lindelof is marking three people because El Pastor, your boy Fred, is actually doing nothing. and that's the liability of bringing Fred on. He's short, and plus he's not look, in the set pieces, Fred's not our man, and he's in no man's land here marking.
So Lindelof's I take it to Gallo. I take him.
And then like the ball comes in, De Gea should have played that. That's perfect for the keeper to play.
He's rooted. He's rooted.
It's really bad to see. It's really bad to see. It's a bad goal to give up at the worst time, and what it means to this side, what it means to this club, what it means to all these fans. And it's one of those things where, a million Manchester United fans cried out,
at the same time.
It's like maybe more than that.
And all their rivals, and all their rivals did the opposite, and we're so happy. The thread just started go. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, all the activity comes back.
You know, in Star Wars, when they like blow up the planet, the Death Star, and then like Obi-Wan's like, I felt it in the Force. It's like,
United drop points.
A million Manchester United fans cry out all at once. Their heart's broken.
It will be if we miss top four. It will feel that way.
2-2 in the books. Match reaction stats. Possession, Southampton, 52% of the ball in our house. What do you mean? We had 48. Shots, 9 for Southampton, 8 for United, 5 on target for Southampton, 4 for Manchester United. Not good enough, I think, sums it up. United are unbeaten now, 18 matches. You got to tip your hat to that. That ain't no joke. We've come a long way, but if you don't get that last couple of points to get top four, it really doesn't matter. That's the crime. You could go 21 unbeaten and have no one care.
Exactly.
Matching the same unbeaten run from 2013 under Sir Alex Ferguson, and have not lost in 11 Premier League games, which is insane. We haven't lost since January, sir. And the fact that we are on our second worst points total ever in the Premier League era with this type of run tells you everything about our season. And yeah, it's almost good that we had to stop because we forget about it.
I mean, we ended on a high, and we came back with a high, but it was a rough season. It's been a rough go of it for United fans. That's why the optimism was so high when Ole came in. The football was high, and then it kind of the wheels came falling off. This feels different. It still feels different.
Oh no, I don't think we're in the same.
Still feels different.
We're not in the same place as we were last season, or even to start this season. Martial's goal was his 10th goal in his last 9 home games, and his 21st of this season. The same total as Marcus Rashford. And De Gea overtook Peter Schmeichel in becoming the overseas player to have played the most games for Manchester United in our last game in Villa Park. And tonight, De Gea played his 400th match for the Red Devils. Shout out to Dave Saves. And he had a great save there, I want to say, in the 82nd minute. That was a great save from De Gea on Redmond cutting in. We did miss that in the recap. That was an amazing curler. And
it was there. I think
amazing
it was,
save.
Yeah, it was. 86th minute. It was a big save. And it was an unbelievable. And that's what Dave does. That's like him at his best. But you think he's culpable for that goal at the end? It does look pretty bad, actually. You replayed it. I didn't see a lot of people point the finger at De Gea. But now that you say it, he looks pretty. I mean,
I read a comment online, but I really do think that the way we're just set up for the corner generally with all of our players at the front post, I don't think that's how it should be done either. And Lindelof didn't do a great job, but he was hanging on 3 open Southampton players because Fred isn't in no man's land. So basically, the set piece marking is a mess. So yeah, you could say De Gea this, De Gea that, but I'm going to say that's poor organization. Clearly, the players are tired. It's late in the game, but that's where you win and lose titles. Titles are won and lost in set pieces in the stoppage time. Come on, we're Manchester United. We know that. All right, sir. What do we know? Let's check in with Ole Mr. Nice Guy. What did he have to say? I haven't even heard a word of this. I can't wait.
Frustration there, but kind of flipping that. Is that the job your players might need to get them over the line after the next 3 games?
Well, we've been on a great run, and it's not going to be like turn up and be given 3 points. So they're going to be tough games, all the next 3 as well. So we didn't expect anything else but what we got here today from Southampton. We knew they were going to be positive, they were going to go for it. It was a good game of football that unfortunately ended with a conceded goal at the end for us.
No
next question. Next question, please.
Sorry, Ollie. You've got five substitutes now. You can only make four because you only can bring players on at 3 points. But do you think you should be allowed to bring on someone for a head injury? We do a lot on head injuries now, but you don't get a free sub for a head injury.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you want to look into those rules. Obviously, it was a bad cut, so he couldn't see out of his eye. He stopped the game when the Southampton centre-back got a calf injury. I didn't understand that one in the early second half, but I don't know. It is what it is. We didn't have too many minutes to see it out with 10 men, so we should have done better.
That's the amazing Simon Stone, ladies and gentlemen. What a question.
Hiya.
Your team didn't have as much control of the ball as they have done in this recent run. What do you put that down to? Southampton's pressing or your own players rushing things at times?
It's a team that you play against. They didn't give us any respite. No, absolutely. We knew before the game that we were not going to get a lot of time on the ball, so it's risk and reward. Of course, we lost the ball on the first one, and we never got the rhythm really to play. But when we did, because you have to earn the right, and when we did, we scored some fantastic goals.
All right, Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, how do you rate that one?
about the standard Ole.
I give him credit. Honestly.
He's right. He's right. He's like, we're on a great run. It was one of those days. The boys are tired. They should have scored 4 goals. They didn't. They scored 2. The other team scored 2. We let up a bad late goal. We got some bad injuries. We move on. As long as we have to, but it's like, you're only as good as your last result. We move on to the next one. The next one's Thursday, and it's a big one. It's Palace. They're in the doldrums, right? They're pretty far down there.
They're a wounded animal. Desperate, though.
Five losses in a row, and it's a must. It's
why
a must win.
How did Bournemouth beat Chelsea? It's like they're scrapping for their lives. Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, that's when you come in. I mean, I bet that Bournemouth plus 460, sir. You know, I know that. It's like you're going in there facing a wounded animal. Palace, this game isn't going to be easy.
No, it's not.
You know, on paper, it looks like, you know, guaranteed, but even the bookies have a tighter line with Crystal Palace, Manchester United to win than they did for Southampton. Usually they know a little something, and we trust the bookies. But credit to Ole, when he was coming off the pitch, it almost looked like he was holding back tears. You know, I saw his face, and it just looked like that goal. I mean, like, I know what that goal did to me physically. You know, and if my career is on the line, and like, he makes top four, he's a made man. Think about that, what that means to him personally. And it was like almost guaranteed, and to like let that goal, and it's almost like I didn't believe it. You know, I was anticipating it. I had to tell myself, we're going to give it up.
Yeah, I knew it.
Before it happened, I said, they're going to score, so don't get upset when they do, just because I just knew it was coming. And I want to wish it's the emotional hedge. That's how I'm thinking at that moment. I can only imagine what Ole's thinking. And it's just like the 10 men, we're going to get through it. Can we hold them off? And then to have it go that way in that fashion and be the manager, for him to be able to pull it together and get that press conference and put on the Ole Mr. Nice Guy face, credit to him. Because I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was the manager and that just happened. I'd be like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's why Klopp melts down. I mean, not everyone has the composure of the baby-faced assassin. He's a class act. Exactly. You're right. I would absolutely, like we should have won 4-2. But he didn't. It's like the players, he's a class act. And Ole, we're rooting for you so hard because our fortunes ride with you.
Credit to him, though. That's like a high wire act, you know, not to be, I mean,
manager of
like,
Manchester United, sir. I mean, it's like one of the hardest jobs in the world.
But he's got everything, you know. I mean, he's the players results. Got the mojo. They got the results. Good feels. They got the players, but they just need the results.
We had it. We had the high ground. It was there for the taking.
You play to win the game. We don't play to just play it, sir.
I know, but now we got to do it the hard way, which is like, we got to do it the hard way.
All right. Top four check-in. Doing it the hard way. Where are we at? Chelsea, 60 points. We should have been on 62. Absolutely dying, mate. They're plus 14 goal differential. Leicester City, 59, plus 29 goal differential. Manchester United, 59, plus 26 goal differential. So look, we're tied on points with Leicester City. They're probably the mark there. We need to score a few more goals. If we do so, that can make a huge difference as it relates to the last game. Because clearly, if we have them on goal differential and we tie, then we kind of get the top four position. For it to come down to goal differential, it's going to be big in how Leicester set up. I would be very concerned if they had us in goal differential. We need to win the game, and tying benefits Leicester City, right? You know, if you think of how the odds work out on that one, if Leicester just needs to tie to get in, that will be very hard. It would be a crazy game. I don't even know if my doctor would advise me to watch it. Because I'll literally just be like, I have
a heart attack.
Heart attack. Absolute heart attack.
I mean, every game from now on is going to be a cup final. Well, they're all like cup finals. I know. I literally told
my wife, and I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Get your will squared away.
I care too much.
We care too much.
I care too much, and it's just tough. Wolves on 55 points, plus 11 goal differential. Sheffield United, 54. Give them a shout. I mean, you look at the top seven teams there. You look at the form, Manchester United 1-4, drawn 1. That's the best of any team. We're on the best form right now, and we haven't lost. So I'm not going to say we're due, but, you know, we should be doing much better than what we did today. Rival watch, Chelsea play Norwich tomorrow. Cantwell, my man.
Come on, baby.
Hat-trick. Hattie, son. they're 1 point ahead of us. We go back to opposition watch, and this is the craziest part, is I'm watching the Chelsea get matches screaming at the TV. I'm like screaming. It's like the emotional high. I have to watch Leicester. I have to watch Chelsea. I have to watch Manchester United. Every goal, every point. This is exhausting. How many more weeks we got?
Just the end of July. That's it. It's just a month. It's just a gauntlet. And I'm rooting for Blades a lot. I noticed I've been rooting for Sheffield United, and we're hopefully rooting for them again. Yeah.
So, Dino, you're the man. Leicester play Sheffield United on Thursday, tied on points with us, 3 ahead in goal differential, like we mentioned. Wolves are 4 points behind us. They play Burnley tomorrow. So Wolves not too worried about them just yet. Booking the bookies top four odds. Look, the bookies have it spot on for us. Chelsea minus 400, Manchester United minus 400. They say we're making top four. Leicester plus 150, Wolves plus 1200. Wolves improved big time after their win. So you know what? It's like the bookies say we have it. So, you know, you trust your bookmaker, right?
Trust your bookmaker. We got a roof. I just realized we got a roof for the Scousers in like a week.
Oh,
we got to be like, yeah, Liverpool.
They're going to play kids.
Bro. I know they are. Jurgen's nephew's going to play. I mean, probably. But we're going to be rooting for the Scous bastards for the first time ever.
Yeah, no, it's sir, come on. We don't mention that on the pod. look, race for top four. For me, the reason why, you know, the bookies say we're going to clearly make it, I'm nervous because of what happened last season and the mental side of sports, because it's almost more, it's like when you're so close and you can't punch through, it's almost like the players, like something goes wrong in Crystal Palace. Like, do you have the ability to be like, no, we've been here before. We know what to do. We can win it. Or do you kind of curl up in a little ball and cry and lose to Cardiff on the last day of the season, sir? So how much would you weight that effect, how we ended last season and how that might be in the players' minds? Clearly Bruno, Maguire, they weren't there, but the other players, you know, this kind of the boogeyman, right?
They might know about it. I hope they do, because I hope it's weighing on the players' mind. I know it's weighing on Ole's. I think that's why Ole looks shook up going off the field, because he knows how important it is this finish is. He knows how the bar is raised just from the restart. You know, the bar has gone up in the last 3 weeks because expectations are now high. They're like United level. It's like, okay, kick on. You're going to finish strong.
As soon as they're United level, we bottle still, it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So they expect him to finish top four, and they expect him to win at least one piece of silverware, if not two. So a lot of United fans expect the same. This team is good enough to do it. It's just that he's got to tinker with it, because even Fergie, I read his book, you got it to me for my birthday, leading. He says, like, you can't keep the same starting 11 over and over because players get complacent, and you have to mix it up because they need to be fighting for spots. And it's just, why hasn't it happened since 92? Because Fergie knows, man. And if it was the way to do it, he would do it. Because even with the injuries that he had, it's like he would have had a stint longer than that, but you have to mix it up because that's how they do it.
Yeah, no, I do. You're right. He mixed it, always mixed
always.
It up. Always mixed it up. Sir, the original Sir Alex.
Listen
to him. I can see that's why you wanted to change it up, because you read his book.
Well, I thought about it. I was like, we haven't broke this record since 92, 93 or whatever it was. There's probably a reason for that. And it's because, like, you know, Fergie learned, and he kept learning, and he kept learning. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's what he had to bench Rooney. Like, it's like, I feel like Martial's the type of player where, like, every 8 games you got to bench,
or Marcus.
Every 10 games you got to bench Martial. But we don't have the depth. That's kind of the devil's advocate. But, sir, we do have a next match. That is Crystal Palace, Roy Hodgson, Wilfried Zaha, you know, Andreas Townsend. We know them very well versus Manchester United, Selhurst Park.
Oof, know it.
South London, mate. Thursday, July 16th, 12:15 p.m. We both watched a match there. I watched them play Arsenal, but you actually went to the Monday night game with Jose Mourinho, the three-goal comeback where Matic scored the winner.
I hope it's
rocking
not like
in the away section. You remember it. So this Selhurst Park, we've had a few nice matches.
We have. That was a gritty night. We didn't even play that well. Came back. Unbelievable. What a smacker from Matic at the death. I hope we can have a more convincing win than that, because we went down 2 goals early, some slop-jop goals, and we can't allow that to happen, because Palace, man, always worry me. Even if they're playing like crap, it's like they got Zaha. They just, like, they have some talented players.
Dude, they beat us this year.
I know. Yeah, they beat us this year.
So, and that was like one of the, whoa. I remember like Palace coming to Old Trafford and beating us, so we can't let them do the double. The players need to dig deep. We've played them 21 times in the Premier League era. We've won 16, drawn 4, and we were defeated once.
First
time we played them, we won 2-1 in the League Division 2 in August 1922. Fun fact about 1922, the Ottoman Empire was abolished, and the last Sultan, Mehmed VI, was abdicated of his throne. Sir, Ottoman Empire.
There you go.
I mean,
throwback.
That's going back. That's when we played. Ottoman Empire was around when we played Crystal Palace. And then Coca-Cola's first polar bear print advertisement appeared in France in 1922. I thought that was interesting. The polar bear.
Starting in France.
Love the Coca-Cola polar bear.
Big polar bear guy.
I didn't know it was that old. You know, I thought it was like 82. You know, something like that. Palace have lost their last 5 Premier League games. They are ripe for the picking. They did beat Bournemouth 6 games ago, so they are dying for a win. They're in a relegation scrap. They're 19th place. You know,
sounds bad.
Little history on Crystal Palace. Founded in 1905, the club claimed to be a continuation of the original amateur Crystal Palace Football Club, formed in 1861, one of the oldest clubs in England, as both were owned by the same Crystal Palace company. This would make them the oldest professional football club in the world, sir. So, I mean, they're claiming and claiming.
It's claims.
Yes, somebody in South London who roots for the Eagles, they'll tell you the oldest club in the world. They'll tell you a lot about it. Talk your ear off, probably a local pub.
They love talking about their Eagles down there. I'll tell you that.
It's a great club. It's a great stadium. It's really like if you're ever in London, you can go to a game at a stadium like Selhurst Park. It gives you that kind of old school English vibe. Club became founding members of the Premier League in 1992. Palace have also been FA Cup finalists twice, losing to Manchester United on both occasions. Remember the Pardew shuffle all day, every day. Jesse Lingard put him to the knife. The club's kit colors were claret and blue until 1973, but they declined to change. They decided to change to red and blue vertical stripes. Since then, I actually like their kits as well. And Palace have a longstanding rivalry with Brighton, Hove, and Albion, with whom they contest the M23 Derby, and also share rivalries with fellow South London clubs Millwall and Charlton Athletic. Sir, you've been to a Millwall match. What do you make of the Millwall?
Millwall, lovely people.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, just salt of the earth folk.
They're tough, the Millwall. Just,
lovely.
I like to see them in the Premier League.
Selhurst Park was nicer. Yeah, Craven Cottage was even nicer.
All right. Injuries, physio room, Twanzabi out, Jones out, Sean B-Dubs will keep an eye on. B-Dubs with the head injury. Something tells me they don't really take that serious, but that is a serious injury. He probably has a concussion. He might just line up. You never know. We've seen some crazy things with head injuries in soccer. Shaw, maybe he'll come back. I don't know how bad the ankle was. He tried to run it off. It's probably a good sign he tried to run it off. But again, it's a tight turnaround for Thursday, so given those injuries, given the uncertainty around left back, what is your lineup? Who do you got?
Here we go. Let's see what we come up with. I got David De Gea in net. Who else? AWB, Bailly, Maguire, B-Dubs back. He makes a recovery, stitches and all. And then we got a midfield. Matic, take a rest. We got a semifinal on Sunday. McTominay, Pogba, Bruno, James, Martial, and Gallo. So mixing up a little bit. Still a pretty strong team. Let's go out, trounce them, rest some players, carry on.
Sir, I'm going unchanged. Dave says Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood. This lineup till I die. There is an argument that Shaw's not going to make it. I think the ankle injury is not that bad. He'll be able to run it off. He'll be able to go. But that's the best team. Since we didn't beat Southampton, no one gets a rest. Chelsea, you might get cheeky with Chelsea because I think top four, you think of that 80 million, 85 million pound check. It's worth more than the FA Cup will ever get you.
It is.
Booking the bookies, Palace plus 900, draw plus 400, United minus 300. Manchester United against Southampton were minus 350, sir. So the bookies messing with the odds here against Crystal Palace to score. Greenwood plus 350. He's up there now. Martial plus 350. You see the bookies moving them. Rashford plus 400. They saw that finish late in the game against Southampton. Igalo plus 450. Bruno plus 400. Pogba 1100. Fred Watch. El Pastor 2500.
I like that Pogba bet.
Given those odds, who do you got winning this game? What is the score? Crystal Palace, Manchester United away.
It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. 3-2 at the death.
I'm going to say 2-1, nervy. We finish it out. No last minute winner. No last minute drawing goal. I don't know why I always say winner. I think in my head.
It felt like a loss.
It did feel like a loss. Sir, United in the news. Jumping into the latest Manchester United news. Surprised we haven't talked about it yet. Manchester shitty.
Unbelievable.
Champions League ban reversed by the Court of Arbitration and Sport.
Shocker.
Who would have thought that they would be able to buy their way out of this with great lawyers and just a 10 million euro fine? This pretty much dispels financial fair play. It doesn't matter. No one cares. But at the end of the day, global football is corrupt. Qatar 2022, we can go into it, sir. There is a lot of, you know, Middle Eastern oil money in football, and financial fair play was meant to kind of stop that. But I don't know what you think of the ruling. How do you feel?
It's more disappointing than anything because this is what was expected. Everyone expected City to throw their money around, bring their big lawyers to Switzerland, and for basically to have this happen, right? 2 years doesn't even go to 1 year. It goes to nothing. And the fine gets lowered to $10 million, which really is a nominal fee when you're cash rich. So it's disappointing because it just kind of like football lets you down again. You know, it's like Santa Claus still is not real.
Well, I would generally say that the rule of the world that we live in is if you have enough money, usually the rules do not apply to you.
Seems to be.
I would say that, you know, especially in, you know, Europe, Switzerland, for example, FIFA, Sepp Blatter, World Cup, all this stuff. You know, football's always had kind of the dark money side to it. And looking at it in England, it's decently capitalist. And if, for those who don't know much about financial fair play, if you guys are interested in us going into it a little more, we're happy to do it on a different podcast. But essentially what it does is it says you really can't spend more than you earn as a football club because a lot of clubs went BK, bankrupt from owners putting too much debt on, and then, you know, basically gambling with these franchises, and then the fans kind of get left with the tab and the clubs need to be rescued. They did stop a lot of that. Still, there are some stories of that happening in England because clearly you can't clean it up 100%. And what financial fair play I think is unfair is it kind of locks in the teams who make the most money. So it's actually advantage United, right? Because we make so much revenue, which means we can spend more than other clubs because they actually under financial fair play can't outspend their means. And I always kind of felt that's a little unfair because European soccer is very capitalistic. And the whole issue here is that City overstated their sponsorship income. Basically, the owner took other companies he owned to pay City a lot of money for their sponsors. If you're a really rich, if you're a multi-billionaire and you just want to put $1 billion into your football club, I don't understand why you can't, right? So I, as far as the morals go, I don't disagree with it. People will say, oh, it's ruining football, but that's capitalism. Look at PSG. How many, they put $1 billion in that club. They haven't done anything in Europe. You can't buy success on a football pitch. I mean, look at the who owned this under Sir Alex Ferguson. You need the best manager in the world. And so for me, I have a capitalistic view of it. And I think that they should be able to put a lot of money into it. I think it makes the league more competitive. I think it makes Manchester United need to be more competitive with City. So I disagree with financial fair play as a whole. And plus, you got to earn it. Top four, son. Like, I don't want to give away. I don't need no giveaway.
No.
I want to earn it. Top four. Let them play in Champions League. Fuck City. Don't worry about it. That's what I think about
it. We should be good enough to finish in top four, but this is just overall disappointing for global football because it's just more of the same reason that we're having a World Cup in Qatar in 2022. Same reason that slap on our wrist for City, but that's never expected.
Do you think financial fair play is fair? Like, a lot of people have, there's a lot of valid criticism of financial fair play.
No, I don't want to get into the merits of financial fair play. That's not what this is
about. But that's what this violation is about. It's about how they breach financial fair play regulations. So I do you care for them or not?
I don't care.
Are you just trying to get City banned no matter
honestly,
what?
Honestly, I'm more of like the throw cash at a team. I don't want teams getting like bankrupt. Like Wigan just went into receivership, and I don't know if that was because they were violating by spending too much or just took on debt. Like, we could end up receivership if we have more years of poor management at the top. But I'm all about like clubs splashing a bunch of money. I like competitive football in the sense
if I have a billion,
that players are going to like be thrown to a team and it isn't guaranteed success, right? Like City haven't won a freaking Champions League yet.
Exactly.
They act like they have, but they haven't. So I don't really mind. I just mind that like if they're going to pretend like there are rules, then they should enforce the rules. Because if there are no rules, then just say there are no rules.
Yes.
No. And just say like all you got to do is show up to the FIFA meetings with bags of cash and say, I want to host the World Cup. Because that's basically what they do.
So you hit the nail on the head. If there are rules, they should be followed. And if not, then there shouldn't be rules. So basically, I can debate about what I think about financial fair play. But City did break the rules. Those rules benefit us mainly because we have the most revenue in English football. For the time being, and they should be, I think a season ban is merited, but I do think the whole idea of financial fair play, that something's going to happen there. Because the rules don't matter anyway. Now I think people are going to ignore them even more, and they're going to have to amend them or create new rules.
Well, of course they're going to ignore them because there's no punishment for breaking them. Like, isn't City going to just go back to doing what they were doing?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, because right, if there is no punishment.
Yeah, no, but I don't like, at least for me as a fan, I just, Pep Guardiola, I want him to stay there. I want us to beat Pep Guardiola more. I don't want them to be banned from Champions League. I want Manchester Derby to be the biggest game in world football. That's what I want. I think it's good for us. I think we can beat them. How many times we beat City this season? How much money do they have?
Three times.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried.
Top four or bust. If we don't, this sucks, sir. It was a tough day.
You knew we were going to lose too.
Yeah, it's just,
we didn't lose.
When it rains,
we didn't lose. We it feels like we lost.
Next bit of news, Europa League draw. This is right. Speaking of,
here you go.
Buddy. Speaking of, Manchester United, of course, for Lukaku reunion with their Inter and Europa League, with Inter draw in Europa League final. Manchester United face a potential Europa League final against Inter Milan following Friday's draw. The draw is very interesting. We can also play Wolves on the way. I'm not even thinking about this right now. I have all my energy on top four. I know this comes later, and this might be the only, like, you know what I thought about today when we got scored on? There's always Europa League.
It's going to be, like, I bet you we're going to be in this, like, tournament with a gun to our head, just, like, playing for our lives.
Wasn't my prediction said that we don't make top four, we don't win
the FA Cup? There are a lot of predictions made on this pod. I'm saying,
if you listen to the pod when we came back, I said, we don't make top four in the league, and we win Europa League to do it. And just, like, in the most heart-stopping way possible.
We might have to, because we never do anything the easy way. Today, we would have been cemented in third place.
We could just play music this pod, not even talk. We just have a party, have a few dark ales. We didn't even break anything down. Next bit of news, fill me in. Man United outcast Phil Jones eyed in a shock Serie A transfer following success of Chris Smalling at Roma. You can have him. This is per the Sun. Phil Jones reportedly lined up for a switch. The Athletic says the 28-year-old center back ended up plying his trade in Italy. Doesn't say a club. I know we're shipping defenders. We might need a new defender. Who cares about Phil Jones, mate?
I mean, it's news. We got games every 3 days. We got to get some news out. When one paper, one rag is citing another rag, it's like the Sun cites the Athletic.
Yeah, but when you're the one who includes it,
this is the news.
It's on you.
This is the news. Phil Jones is making moves this summer. What do you think?
And next bit of news. Manchester United changed their mind on Declan Rice transfer and plan to push Chelsea all the way per the Express. Manchester United have reignited interest in West Ham star Declan Rice ahead of summer transfer window. Reports say Ole has softened his stance when it comes to landing the England international, but the Red Devils are now ready to fight Chelsea all the way for the 21-year-old signing. Transfermarket.com has £44 million as the price tag. Declan Rice, CDM, heir apparent to Matic. What do you make of this?
Can he play center back? Can he play striker? Then I'm not interested.
You need to be thinking about the Matic replacement, and Declan Rice is the one to do it.
I don't
Fred
see
doesn't
priority.
Do it. McTominay.
McTominay, I can see, is more heir apparent to Matic than anyone on the pitch. I mean, anyone that's like in the squad at the moment, I think he can fit that role if he learns how to play the position.
I think you're right.
He's slightly more dynamic. I mean, but Declan Rice is not a summer priority, and they're going to demand big money.
He was good. I mean,
he's good, but we need a center back more, and we need Sancho more, don't we?
This is true. All true things. Jumping in, fan questions. Thank you for tweeting us. The banter, everything. Let's see, sir. I have not gone through it. Is it toxic? I don't know. Lot. Okay.
We hello, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Androcius95. Hello, darkness, my old friend. At Nick's Geek Girl on Twitter. Sad, but we carry on. This is the theme. At Jamal Motala. I forgot what it felt like to be a Man U fan over the last 6 years. Whoops, there's that feeling. Dropping easy points to a very beatable team and bottling sitters. What do you make of that one? That's kind of that's an angle.
No, I mean, this less than the last 6 years, because the last 6 years didn't always contain, at moments, this like high-flying football. We played some good football today for parts of the game. It wasn't consistent enough, which Four felt minutes. Like the Ole reign more so than anything, which is the ups and the downs, which is what I'm the most worried about, because we got to finish up. Yeah, finish up.
At @ant_trolla, if Williams doesn't get hurt, they don't get that goal. What a shit way to tie. I mean, he would have been there with Lindelof, but what do you make of that one?
I mean, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? I was like, I wanted all these different subs. Maybe would have made a difference. Maybe Bruno would have made a difference. It's just one of those days.
At @moybeyond_, quote, get Sancho and Grealish, Ake, if they drop and his injury isn't serious. Sancho and Grealish are must-haves. We're tied up front. If we have players like them to rotate, we'd score more goals. Southampton got lucky with the equalizer, but that shouldn't impact our transfers. Have to imagine if we got three players like that, we'd be looking really good next season.
We need options. I don't see Sancho and Grealish happening, unless we lose Pogba. So I don't think that's going to happen. Sancho, you know, an up-and-coming CDM and a up-and-coming CB sound good to me. You know, if Sancho's the only, like, name that you've heard of really pronounced, the other two names are Dan James-esque, I'd be okay with that.
At @bullet237, quote, why sit back for 20 minutes and not push for the third? Absolutely heartbroken. I mean, that is a great... That's the point. It's like the best defense is... Is it a good offense for us at the moment?
That's your tactic as well, right? It's like we could tell we've looked a little. I know we've had some luck clean sheets and good results, but we have looked. If we look vulnerable anywhere, it's in the back. So we need to be clinical, and just we weren't clinical today.
At @youbosun on Twitter, quote, time to be a little critical of Ole. Game management was poor today. We had 15 good minutes, bad otherwise. Even before injury, we looked liable to concede. Very, very disappointing. Today was the day to seal it. Now, who knows? Shot at Ole. We did talk about a little bit. The game management was off. The Monday morning quarterback analysis, the shoulda, woulda, couldas. You don't know. You don't know. I think it was fitness. You know, I really do think that we were tired.
I do. And that's why I think, you know, I called an unchanged 11, basically. But you got to mix it up. And maybe I think he's going to mix it up next game just because we need a little bit something different. Even if he keeps some of the main guys, I think an injection of a McTominay or even a B-Dubs because of injury, something needs to change a little bit, because there was definitely a little complacency on the pitch today.
Next tweet at @blazed_in. I guess that's not when you're snowed in. I guess you're blazed in. That means a lot of stoners outside your house are smoking weed, so you can't go outside. Maybe. I don't know. Quote, I'm disappointed. Why do we always have to do this when top four is up for grabs? Sir, why do we always do this when we're about to crack into top four? We should be just waltzing.
Well, we don't.
We should be waltzing into top four.
If this is competing for the league. If this isn't a false dawn, or if this is a false dawn, we're not going to make top four. We're going to screw our chances. But if this is the beginning of something new, this is just a bump in the road. And we're going to smash Palace, and we're going to smash Chelsea, And we're going to smash Leicester on the last day. I think we have West Ham as well. David Moyes, tactical genius. You know that's got controversy written all over it as well. So it's like, we got a lot of games left to go. And it's all going to come down to these last, I mean, the next four games are massive.
West Ham are on fire. We should be worried about West Ham for sure. At T Zolski on Twitter, quote, "We have no one to blame but ourselves. Defending was terrible, so we naturally sit back and try to defend a one-goal lead. We simply didn't create enough chances. Only good thing is we still control our own fate." I mean, I would say that with an exclamation point. We control our own fate. It's there for us to win. We went out. We are in. That's the way Manchester United has to do it. That's the way we always do it. Results, son.
I mean, we've never done it the easy way. Look through our history. Look through that. I mean, look through like the greatest moments in our history, and it's never been done the easy way. So if this is the beginning of something special, we're going to have to do it the hard way. And I don't want the hard way to be winning the Europa League. I want the hard way to be winning out in the league, smashing Palace, smashing West Ham, and just Leicester. You know, we already have our advantage, and we just cement it and just dig in the knife.
All right.
Send him to Europa League.
We're going to finish this one with our boy Devin, who we last hung out with, drinking some dark ales at the Bishop's Blaze, singing some good songs before that PSG European night at Banjo Boy for Life. Quote, "Yeah, it's extremely unlucky today, but if that's the only slip, I'll take it. Sometimes teams need one of these to focus their energy, still in a very good position to finish in top four, and still have the unbeaten run going." Devin, that's exactly what we need. A little glass half full, son.
Devin, I've been spotting you on NBC Sports. My really shout morning. Out. Shout out to Devin. But wait, and that's a great tweet to end it, because it's right. It's like, as long as this is just like a little bump in the road, we're good. Because sometimes teams need it. Sometimes teams need it, but I wouldn't take Bruno off. I think you need Bruno to play every minute for the rest of the season.
Monday morning quarterback. Monday morning.
More Bruno. We need more Bruno. But it's right. It's just let's carry on, because Thursday there's another game, and it's a big one.
All right, that's the podcast. It's been a real one breaking down that tough match, but there is another one, so we gotta get up for that. And I'm glad there's a quick turnaround. This isn't gonna marinate that much. Boy, the text thread they were chirping at us today. Ooh. That one hurt. That one hurt. Everyone loves to see Manchester United wounded. Everyone loves to see us wounded, but we will be back. That's how we do. We never give up. Thank you for listening to the pod. We would be nothing without you guys. This pod is for fans, by fans. The banter, the fan questions you get us is amazing. We love doing it. And boy, I really hope for a good result at the end of the season.
It's because we're fans.
We watch every single game. We pod every game. Come on, United. You're due. We're due. We're so due. Like, I believe in it. Come on. Put me in there, coach. Get me on the pitch.
I believe that we will win. I believe that we will.
I hate that.
I know. It's terrible. But we... It makes it a lot more fun when we just like roll in teams 5-2.
We had it too good for too long, but like it comes down to Manchester United fans know it comes down to those moments. And it's like, we won titles on the last day of the season. We did it with ease. We always showed up when we needed. We scored the goals late when we needed. And we're learning that that's a very hard thing to do.
Fergie time.
You read that book, and he's a really good manager. So, you know, he's going to be, I mean, talk about Matt Busby, and then you look at Sir Alex, and you're like, oh my God, you know, Alex is like on another level, probably greatest sports coach of all time. And those are big shoes to fill. But I do rate my man Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment. He's got us playing really well. Like you said, needs to read that book. Probably need to change it up a little more.
I think he has read the book. He just
knows the man.
Keep Fergie around. Do you know what? Fergie didn't get it all right at once. It took him a little bit of time to get the Kings out. Obviously, he was winning stuff before he came to United. But Ole, he might have that magic touch. He is a winner. He's shown it at this club. He knows what this club expects. But now it's when the rubber hits the road. It's when, dude, next 2 weeks, dude, are our season. Top four.
Let's go.
We got to smash Chelsea, too, because it's like, even if they finish above us in the league, you got to smash them.
Chelsea. I hate Chelsea.
They're the worst. They're the worst. Because you were like talking about money and football. You didn't even bring up our Russians. The Russians.
No, I hate Chelsea. They're
the worst.
They have a special place on this podcast. Look, thanks again for listening. If you want to support us, drop a review. Check out our store, AmericaRedDevils.com. You guys are absolutely the best. We had some amazing downloads. Everyone jumping on the wave. Manchester United are back, sir. 18 unbeaten. Give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? New Delhi, India. What's up? Welcome to the board. Number two, South San Francisco, California. Number three, what does it say? Farmington,
Missouri.
How you doing? Keep us going, sir.
Oslo, Norway. Shout out to the Shire. Dublin, Ireland. Having a dark ale for you. Long Beach, New York. Sir, number seven, Chirac. Finish us off.
Number eight, Altadena, California. Number nine, Hoboken, New Jersey. No joking. And number 10, St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you, everybody who listens in, week out. Guys, it's not always easy. It's not always pretty.
Hey, we didn't lose.
We didn't lose. The run continues. The hoodies are still undefeated. The run is still on. It's on like Donkey Kong. We just got to keep winning.
18 games unbeaten. How's it feel?
Always at the wheel.